Kentucky lawmakers get to work on Tuesday with the start of the 2013 legislative session. Kentucky Public Radio Capitol Bureau Chief Kenny Colston will cover the session for us. He joins me from Louisville to run down the top agenda items for this session. Kenny, thanks very much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Before things get too busy, we'd like to sit and talk about what's happening or what's going to happen in this legislative session. It is a short session, though, so there won't be any budget activity, right?
No, that's correct. Probably very little, unless they have to reopen a budget somehow for this pension mess that they're in. But we're not talking about large-scale budget negotiations here.
Then the biggest issue will be the state pension system and pension reform. What kind of conversations are you hearing now about what may happen?
Well, the conversations now are, how do you pay for this unfunded liability, as they call it, that's in the hundreds of billions of dollars? As we hear the governor say, he's balanced the budget 11 times now. They put Medicaid in pretty much a private system to help balance the state budget. There's not a lot of want to issue a bond because, as you know, state universities, a lot of their bonds got rejected this last budget cycle. So that's where the debate is going to be. Lawmakers are pretty much agreed, both House Speaker Greg Stumbo and Majority Floor Leader in the Senate, Republican Damon Thayer, on the task force, their recommendations to fully fund what's called the ARC, the actuarial required contribution every year, what the General Assembly has to pay. There's agreement that that should be fully funded. There's agreement that new hires should pretty much be in what's called a hybrid cash balance system, which is part old pension, part 401k. That's kind of the easy stuff, and they'll have to put those recommendations into law. But the big thing is how to pay for it, and there's not agreement on that. There's not agreement on whether you cut more spending. There's not agreement on whether or not you float a bond. And that's what lawmakers are going to have to wrestle over in the 30 days they have. There's agreement that the pension system is broken. How do you fix it?
So it seems like a pretty big issue. Could you even speculate on whether or not you think that's going to get done?
I think it will. I think it has to. It's almost like when this past session, when they had the unemployment insurance issues. If they don't do something about it, the problem's only going to get worse. And if they let it get worse, you're talking about possible pension system bankruptcy, at which point you're talking about, is there city bankruptcies because cities pay into this? Is there state bankruptcy? And that's a topic that you can't even touch on, because how can a state go bankrupt? Who bails out a state in bankruptcy? So this has come to the table. They know they have to deal with this now. It's gotten too big. The question is how do they pay for it? Some people have said tax reform. The governor's tax reform commission has all these revenues that if they implemented the full thing, although that seems unlikely, maybe a few tweaks to the tax system. Some people have even suggested that expanded gaming revenues could possibly help pay for the pension system, although not many lawmakers are talking about that. That's what it comes down to.
Another issue that we've reported on here, since Murray has recently and a couple other communities in our listening area have allowed liquor sales through referendum, is that the state may look at reforming liquor laws too. Explain the reasoning for this.
Well, the reasoning is that a federal judge has pretty much vacated a lot of the current liquor laws. He struck them down as not fair. You have your freestanding liquor stores. You have places like pharmacies, like your Walgreens and your CVS, that can sell beer and wine, and I believe small quantities of spirits. But your grocery stores, your Walmarts, your Kroger's, even your small ones, they can really only sell beer. And a federal judge has said that's not fair. So he vacated all the laws. Luckily, that he also stayed his ruling until after the General Assembly can write new laws. And what they're going through right now is figuring out pretty much how to rewrite the law to match what they had without basically having the judge throw out the new law almost immediately. House Speaker Greg Stumbo says he interprets the ruling that there needs to be uniformity. If CVS can sell wine in small doses of spirits, then Kroger should be able to as well. If Kroger can't do it, then CVS or Walgreens shouldn't be able to do it. So the question is are we going to have gas stations that can sell bourbon and can sell wine and it's a free-for-all and could possibly put your neighborhood liquor store out of business? Not a lot of people want that, because they don't want young kids being able to go into gas stations and buying Maker's Mark. There's a little bit more protections, I guess, when you look at your average liquor store. But that's what they're going to have to work through. The problem is that they are pretty much, as far as I know, at ground zero. The people who are protecting the liquor stores and even protecting kids, education groups, they haven't really come to the proposal that Speaker Stumbo says he thinks could survive the judge's ruling. So they're going to have to work through that as well. I think that's going to be an issue that will go below the table while they're dealing with pensions. But if they don't come up with a law, then it will be a free-for-all. You will have gas stations that can sell wine and liquor.
What about, you mentioned possibly paying for some of the pension deficits with expanded gaming revenue if expanding gaming is passed. Do you think it's going to get another chance this session?
It's really weird. I originally did not think so, even with the departure of State Senate President David Williams, because there's a lot of Republicans in the Senate who just don't like the idea of expanded gaming. But there's been reports that the Courier-Journal recently reported that Governor Steve Beshear is open to an amendment that does not protect the horse industry. And if there's an amendment in the Senate that doesn't have specific constitutional protections for any industry in Kentucky, I believe that probably has the votes to pass. The biggest problem with the gambling bill this last go-around was that 60-mile rule that you couldn't have any casino within 60 miles of a racetrack. That knocks out areas like, I believe, Murray, because Paducah has a racetrack. Owensboro would be knocked out because of Ellis Park and Henderson. And a lot of lawmakers weren't happy about that. If you get a clean bill, I think it's pretty close that it would pass. The question is how much does the horse industry throw a fit? Tracks like Keeneland, who want protections, do they throw a fit and try to kill an amendment through Democratic votes that doesn't protect them?
Also, you've been covering this quite extensively, and that is the legalization of hemp as industrial hemp for manufacturing processes and for farmers in the Commonwealth. You've got the Agriculture Commissioner standing behind this. You've also got one of the U.S. Senators for Kentucky standing behind this. Do you think that's enough support to move lawmakers to vote on a bill and legalize hemp in Kentucky, industrial hemp?
I think the hemp bill will probably be able to get through the Senate. Now that there's a new Senate agriculture chairman, Senator Paul Hornback, who's a big ally of Commissioner Comer, I think it definitely gets through committee and probably gets through the whole Senate. The question is on the House side, the biggest roadblock is the Kentucky State Police, who say they do not support the legalization of industrial hemp. They say that they can't tell the difference between hemp and marijuana when they do their raids, and that it's just too costly to try to get more people, more boots on the ground during these raids, too expensive to send the plants back to testing, to their labs. And so they would just rather not have it. That's the roadblock for Speaker Stumbo. That appears to be the roadblock for Governor Steve Beshear. If they can somehow get the Kentucky State Police to back off, this is an easy law for them to pass. But I definitely think it gets through the Senate. And Commissioner Comer used to be a House member. So it's a question of whether he can convince enough Democrats who control that chamber that this isn't a bad thing, that this can create revenue, this can help tobacco farmers who will see their tobacco buyout money run out here in a few years. If not this year, I think 2014 is a definite year for it.
We talked with retired Senator Ken Winters here of Murray, who was the chair of the Education Committee in the Senate. Do you have a sense of who will succeed him in that role?
Yes, his successor will be Mike Wilson, state senator from Bowling Green. He's actually still considered a freshman. As you know, Senator Winters left, Senator Vernie McGahey, and Senator Jack Westwood, three people who have been on that committee a long time, and a lot of knowledge was lost in that. So Wilson kind of has his work cut out for him. I don't expect too many crazy things to come through that. I think charter schools is resting for a while now that you have districts of innovation. It seems like the biggest thing that could come through is if Speaker Stumbo tries to pass a U-Pike, bringing that into the state system again, cementing the dropout age at 18. But I kind of have a feeling that Senator Wilson might take a session, and an odd year session is a great time to do this, and kind of get his feet wet now that they've lost that much experience.
And Paducah Senator Bob Leeper, who's the only independent in the state Senate, but caucuses with the Republicans, had a failed bid to be the Senate president, and he was beaten by Senate President-elect Stivers. Are there any hard feelings between Senator Leeper and Stivers?
Not that I can tell. Senator Leeper is still the chairman of the Appropriations and Revenue Committee, which is the best committee to be on, and the chairmanship, that's practically part of leadership to be on that. You control the budget. And so he's still chairman of that committee. He's actually, and this was a surprise to me, while he's caucused with Republicans for a while now, he actually wasn't a full caucus member. He basically got to sit in and listen to the meetings. And Senator Stivers, you know, with a vote of the caucus, has now made Senator Leeper a full member of the caucus. He gets to vote. He's not just listening there, twiddling his thumbs anymore. So I don't think there's any bad blood there. Senator Leeper's been around for a while. He's a really great guy. A lot of people, you know, work well with him in Frankfurt. You don't hear a lot of nasty things about him from either side. And so I think that hatchet is probably buried. I would be surprised if there's any lingering anger in the coming session.
Capitol Bureau Chief Kenny Colston will have a busy 30 days beginning on Tuesday with the start of the general session of the Kentucky Legislature. Kenny, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.